An exquisite life is a beautiful life. It is feeling like there's magic every day, that it's not boring or run of the mill or just the next thing that needs to get done. It's not the grind. It is that magical enchantment of life that feels just totally beautiful. And it has purpose and truth. Welcome to the Unstoppable Woman podcast, where we explore what it means to create a truly exquisite life. I'm your host, Amira Alvarez, inviting you to be part of these intimate conversations about feminine ambition, what lies beyond traditional notions of success, and how to answer the question, what's next when you've already achieved so much? Let's dive in. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Unstoppable Woman podcast. I'm Amira Alvarez. I am the host of this podcast and the founder and CEO of the Unstoppable Woman. And today we have a new format that we're unveiling, and we're excited for this, and we're hoping that it goes smoothly and is really amazing for you. So as you may or may not know, we have been unveiling some new topics on this podcast, particularly around this concept of the exquisite life. And Ariana on my team had this brilliant idea that we should really dig in deeper to what the exquisite life is and means to us. And that then flowed into this idea that she interviewed me about this. And so that is what we're doing today. She's amazing, and I'd like to bring her on. Ariana, please come on. And I'm going to hand the mic over to you so that you can introduce this concept from your perspective and what you want to kind of do today. And then hopefully the conversation that we have is going to be amazing for our audience as well.
Thank you. Yes. I feel like you're always talking about creating an exquisite life. And, you know, I think that's easy for people to understand the words, but maybe they don't truly grasp what you're trying to say. So I think I just wanted to spend a little bit of time talking to you about the concept of an exquisite life and then giving people a chance to truly understand the definition of it. And I think what I understand is that it's important that people get that it's not a one size fits all concept. It's something that each of us should be creating for ourselves. But since you work primarily with super ambitious women, women who have tasted success, either as entrepreneurs or executives, I want you to speak to them directly. So like, I feel like they might have the hardest time creating this exquisite life because they're in the hustle and grind so much. So I wanted you to give them something tangible to work with. So also hoping that you can provide maybe some like steps or some guidance, some things that they could start doing for this creation of their exquisite life. So yeah, I'm hoping they walk away with a solid understanding of what it all means and they feel inspired to create their own exquisite life and they have the steps to do that. So are you ready?
I am ready. Yes. I want to add one thing. So I love the focus for entrepreneurs, highly successful entrepreneurs, and also executives, right? That's a great focus because that's the lane that I'm in. That being said, if you're listening to the podcast and you're like, well, that's not me, keep listening because there will be things applicable to you. This is not necessarily devoid of application for someone who is on the growth trajectory or on their way there or creating something different than those two categories that we've put together for you. So yes, I'm going to speak to Ariana's request. And I want you to know that if that's not you, keep listening, okay? Because there will be things that are applicable. And if you have questions about this and want to interact with us, YouTube is a great place to put a comment. You know, we put this podcast out on all the platforms. So you might be listening in an audio only format, but we do put it out on our YouTube channel as well. And that's a place where you could post a comment if you have a question about how this is applicable to you or how to use some of the things that we're talking about. So, okay, with that, the mic is back to you.
Well, you sort of went ahead a little bit, but I wanted to start off with like the simple and like, you know, the question of the day. So I wanted you to start off by telling everyone, what is it that you mean by an exquisite life? Like, what is that?
I think the best definition of this is how it feels, because it feels exquisite. It feels lit up. It feels like you have life force running through you. All the cells in your body are tinglingly alive, right? You feel the beauty of life. You feel the sensuality of life. You feel the joy of life. You feel lit up. And that is something that there might be a range of feeling. You, like, there might be days where you feel more kid-like, like that playful little kid that's just, you know, in love with life and can play for hours. Or you might have a feeling that's more like a sexual, sensual life force running through you as like a full grown-ass adult woman, right? Like, this is me alive and I feel sexy and like lit up and connected and all that. Or it might feel like a spiritual awakening. It could feel just like joy, but it is a love of life. And so I think that's an important distinction, that although I love talking about the outer game things that we want to manifest and create for ourselves, whether that's like the next level of growth in the business or the second house or the relationship or the great health, right? It can be in business. Like, I was just talking to a client the other day about, like, okay, she's got this financial goal for the year and we're a little over halfway through. She's doing great, but it's time to manifest some new clients. So, like, we were like, booyah, like getting very, very clear about what that looked like and the vision there, so that she could then execute in a very practical way, like this integration. So there are outer game business things that would make your life exquisite. That for her was like reaching her financial goals and making more money. But, and then there's more personal life things that would make your life exquisite. And yet we all know that we've reached goals, we've achieved things, we've done the extraordinary, and then have been left with the, like, is that all there is? Like, it felt good for that moment. Here's something that you might relate to. I ran, walked a marathon many years ago, 2018. So, wow, that's 6 years ago already. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, I got done and I was super proud of myself and it was amazing. And then the next day I was like, okay, well, now what? You know, like, and that's the thing with goals, outer game goals. Yes, you can create the strategy of like always set the next goal before you finish this goal. That's super important. And, you know, you can keep growing and all of that, but it's the feeling that we want. It's the feeling of fulfillment, of wholeness, of peace, of freedom, of delight, of in love with life that we're craving. And that's more of an inner game experience. And the thing that I love working with women on is that intersection where you don't have to become a monk in a cave on a hilltop with a long beard, right? You know, and abdicate life or your desires to have that sense of exquisite feeling lit up. You don't have to deny the fact that you're ambitious. You don't have to deny your drive. You don't have to say, I don't want the second house or the third house or the, you know, the great relationship or whatever that is. You can want all of those tangible human 3D experiences and say, I want to feel exquisite and go for both, have both of those lanes. It's not that they run in parallel. In fact, it's like, how do we integrate those two lanes and really create both? And when we do that, that's what feels exquisite. We have both. We have that feeling of total alignment inside and outside. Hey there. I just want to take a quick moment and ask, what's the thing holding you back from your own success? The hidden shadow or saboteur potentially at play for you? And do you know how to find it? We often have that one thing keeping us from our next level. And it's not always the strategic move. It's often the internal one. I found in my own journey of success and building my exquisite life, it's what I call a core wound or loyalty pack. What's that? I share more at theunstoppablewoman.com, right on the homepage. Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now, let's get back to our episode.
It sounds, it's, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, I'd said it's not a one size fits all concept, right? So it sounds sort of like anyone can experience an exquisite life because it's this inner feeling. It's not necessarily when I make this much money, when I start this venture, whatever goal it is, when I have this relationship, when I have the family, right? It sounds like anyone. Okay. So two questions, right? So is an exquisite life available for anybody, which I think you were kind of speaking to when we first started. And the second part of it is which comes first, right? Because you were saying they don't necessarily run parallel. They're kind of intertwined. So do we need to feel it first to create the outer stuff, or can we create the outer stuff and then sort of backtrack into feeling good? Chicken or egg, which one
okay.
comes first?
Such great questions. So is it available to everyone first? Yes, absolutely. Okay. So no matter what your goals are, doesn't matter if you're going for your first 30, 50K in your life, or you're going for your 30 million, 50 million, 100 million. Doesn't matter. Okay. Whatever your outer game goals are, and they could be money, like we've been saying, it could be money, it could be health, it could be relationships. There are all these things, that environment, our houses, right? Like travel. It doesn't matter. Although those are legit outer game things. And it doesn't matter where you're at on the trajectory of creating that in terms of like how big those are or how much you've created already. This is available for everyone. That being said, oftentimes when people are not cognizant of how to make significant amounts of money for themselves, whether it be in their own business or in someone else's business, as an executive, as a manager, whatever it is, when you don't have the sense that the knowledge and the experience of doing that, of making as much money as you want, you will feel like you're in scarcity. You have a limitation that you have to prioritize the money piece first. And to some degree, that's true. To some degree, that's not. So it's true because in so much as that is people's experiences generally. When people feel like they're constrained by not having enough money, they put all their energy to that, thinking that that's what's going to relieve them of the feeling that is causing the lack of wholeness, peace, joy that they desire. The truth is, though, and this is like the reality, you could go straight to the joy, the truth, the wholeness without that, okay? Like, we actually need very little to survive, right? Rice and beans, nice little tent over our head, and some warm clothing or a nice tropical environment, and we're pretty good. Maybe someone to hold us, right?
Right.
You know, like human beings need touch. Now, do I want to live that way? Absolutely not. Do most people want to live that way? Most people in our culture don't want to live that way. They have bigger desires, nicer houses, better schools for their kids, all sorts of things. And that causes a sense of not having enough. And so then it's hard to shift yourself to the focus of what's required to create an exquisite life if you're feeling like money's in the way. Okay. So did that answer your question?
I think so. I think that everyone's going to have a different starting point, right? But it sounds as though regardless of where they are, regardless of their starting point, that inner work is required to truly experience the fullness of life, right? Because otherwise you're constantly in scarcity mode, in chasing the next thing, in wanting the next thing. And it's not until you sort of get that inner game and I don't know if it's in balance, but like, you know, get it into a place where you can experience fullness and joy, I guess, that like you finally start experiencing and maybe even allowing it to create more for yourself from that place. So
100%. Well summarized. So I believe it's available for everyone. I don't think that you actually need to have made the financial success metrics before you do this, but that often gets in our way and it's hard for us to work around. Doesn't mean that has to be hard or that you have to let it stop you, but it often is experientially. And we just need to have a little nod to that. And then the flip side though is true. You know, you started off this podcast saying you wanted to sort of focus on the challenges for successful entrepreneurial women and executives. And I think the challenge for that category of women is that our MO, this is one of the seven shadows of success that we have outlined on our, mm-hmm. the homepage of our website, which I encourage people to take a look at if they want more details on this. That's just the unstoppablewoman.com. So you can go there. We'll put the link in the show notes. As a outer game successful woman, meaning you've gotten to a certain level of financial remuneration, you can say maybe your metrics of success are different. Maybe it's relationship, maybe it's family, but you self-identify as someone who is ultra successful. And here I'm going to say in the business realm, you're ultra successful. There's a certain MO, certain modus operandi that has gotten you there. And generally speaking, 99.999999% of the women who have gotten there have done it by adapting themselves to a way of being that's more in their masculine. It's more in this single focus, kind of drive that, causes them to be very much in their structured way of being and not open. It's not that you've lost sight of the feminine aspect of you. And just as a little crib sheet for anyone who's new to this material, the masculine and the feminine is something that we all hold within us. It's our essence. It's our energy. There's a masculine energy. There's a feminine energy. It's not that we don't have both. We actually need both to create, like the sperm and the egg and making babies. You need both for creation. And so when we are bringing ideas into form, like creating something in our business, creating something in our work, in our careers, we're using this masculine structure side of things that's like very structured, very disciplined, very efficient, very logic oriented, very single focused kind of work. It's spreadsheets and, you know, agendas, right?
I said it before. It's like the hustle and grind. It's like the go and do, I guess.
You can be in go and do in your feminine. Now, the difference is with the feminine, we're much more in flow. So we have this diffuse awareness, this awareness of all these different things, and we don't single focus and we go in a lot of different directions, okay, when we're in our feminine. And now females are able to adapt really well so that they can change the way they're being to be more linear, more single focus, more one thing right after another. But the diffuse focus doesn't mean we're not acting. We're getting a lot done, but we're kind of going here and then there and then here and then there and then here and then there. And that's the way we generally create from our feminine. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, as women, now I'm talking about the sex women, not the energy women.
Yeah.
We can be in our masculine, and we've learned that that's very, very, very helpful for getting things done. And we started to learn this when we were in school and we had to study for tests and we had to stay focused and we had to, you know, write paragraphs and essays that made sense and went from one thing to the next. And I drive Ariana crazy sometimes because my teaching notes are not in this linear fashion anymore because I've learned to lean more into my feminine. But like, if I need to, man, can I get into that very, very linear, organized fashion? Now, this is not one is better than the other. This is not saying that women can't focus, because we can, and we can focus very well, but our energies, the essence of the feminine is one way and the essence of the masculine is another way. And most women tend to, not all of them, have a stronger feminine essence, but we've learned, if we're good at business, to prioritize our masculine ways of being. For the uber successful, ultra successful entrepreneur or, you know, executive, they have been in their masculine so much in order to create this kind of success in business. That's basically a requirement to be successful in business. We have to be in our masculine. Now, I don't think that once you've mastered that way of being, you can't then do it differently, which is the phase I'm in and what I love to teach people how to do. But we think that the way we got our success is all that we know. And yet we're like, oh, I keep going after my goals this way. I keep succeeding, but I don't get the fulfillment that I want. I get the goal, but I get this empty feeling. And I think that it's all or nothing, right? It's like, I have to either give up my MO of driving from my masculine to get my goal or get fulfillment. And I feel completely trapped by that because I don't want to lose my business. I don't want to lose my success. I don't want to lose the income. I don't want to lose the status or the impact, but I want the fulfillment. I want to create this sense of wholeness and in love with life and this sense of desire for life, like running through you. So that's a false concept, but I remember distinctly feeling this myself and feeling so trapped. And I've talked to so many clients about this and how to go about unpacking it so that there's a way to actually do both. And you can, you know, how do you run your life, run your business, run your career in a way that brings you not just a sense of fulfillment, like, oh, I got the thing done. Cause right. I got that. Right. I understand that. That feels good. But like that
feels
sense
good, but
of
it goes
wholeness.
Away quickly.
Right. Right. Right.
It's like, oh, so I got it. I did it. And then it's like, oh, wait, then what?
And it's a existential question. It becomes a really strong existential question when you've sacrificed a lot to have that success. And women who are ultra successful, they've sacrificed a lot. And some of them have worked out some of the details, but there's usually one place in their life that they're like, wow, I still haven't created that. I'm still feel like I can't have that, or I have to sacrifice that until I get to some netherland. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The next and then the next. I think what you just said was there needs to be more of this balance between the masculine and feminine. So there's obviously a big role that this creation of balance plays in the creation of an exquisite life. So I do want to get into sort of, okay, how do we get there? But before we do that, you know, you mentioned how you're sort of, you've sort of gone through this transition. So I'm curious if you're willing to share sort of your personal story around that, because I think it's interesting to hear, especially if someone's listening and they're in that stuck zone, they're in that like, oh, but that's me. I keep going. I keep like hitting up against a wall and going for the next goal, but I just don't feel that feeling. So I would love for you to share your story a little bit as to how you managed to sort of get past it so that now you could wake up feeling lit up and all the things that you were describing.
When I was building this business, I remember just starting out and, you know, first year in business, I made 30K. Second year in business, I made 90K. I was proud of myself. I tripled my income, right? I didn't get to that 100K marker. I felt bad about that, you know, so, you know, never enough. I had all sorts of stories around that. Then the third year in business, I got to 138, which was a 50K jump. I was really proud of myself. I'd crossed that six-figure mark, but I was working crazy long hours. And there was this moment in time where I was like sitting on the floor of the office and it was not a client-facing day. So I was still in my sweats that I had slept in. I hadn't brushed my teeth. I hadn't showered. It was gross. Okay. Yeah. Like it was really bad. But no one was looking at me.
You were sacrificing, basically.
I was seriously sacrificing because I was like, I had a tiger chasing me. And I was in that phase of business where you have to just put all your effort in. And I was like, task, 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 next, 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 next. And my husband at the time called upstairs and was like, hey, babe, dinner's ready. And I was like, oh, thanks. I'll be right down. And an hour later, he called up and said, hey, I'm starting. And I was like, oh, he was fine with it. Like, great guy, still great guy. Didn't guilt me, didn't shame me. But I was like, oh, what the effety F am I doing? Right? This is not how to live. And that year, I went about studying success and what it took to really change who you were being, your identity and beliefs and thinking perspective to become someone who did the things that allowed you to grow your business significantly. And I went from 138K to 700K. It was a 5x increase in my income. Again, I was going for a million and didn't get there, right? I was like, there was this moment where I cried at the end of the year because I didn't get there. It was totally ridiculous, right? Like, look at what you just did.
But proof that you could be doing the work and like doing that inner work, but still feel those feelings. Like, I think that's like, I don't know. This is a reminder, I think, for anyone and everyone that like we're all still human. So it doesn't matter how enlightened we get and how much inner work we do, we're going to feel the things no matter where we are. So I appreciate that you're like saying that because it's just true.
I feel a little bit ridiculous about it now because it was like, oh my God, look at what you just did. But like, I was like really seriously bummed because I had worked really hard. I'd set this big goal. I'm like, does this mean I don't know how to manifest and create what I want? Right. Like, but I got over it. And at the time, and then, you know, the business grew to cross seven figures, multiple seven figures, all that. But at the time, the question that I was asking myself was, how do I make this easier? Like, so then everything was about like efficiency and trying to make things easier and more in the flow and all that. But I didn't change my drive. Okay. Mm. So I kept going really, really hard. And then, you know, I loved what I did. So I put that was like the story I would tell myself, like, oh, I love what I do. So of course I'm going to work all this time. Like it's not work if you love what you do. And there's total truth to that, 100%, until you wake up and you're like, I don't like my life, right? And now, if someone had asked me, even while I was going through this like inquisitive, you know, self-reflection, I would not have said, I don't like my life. I would have pointed to all the things that were actually really good about my life and that, you know, like I was knocking it out of the park and like nothing to complain about. I would not have articulated that to anyone except my best business buddy, Jessie, and she's my best non-business buddy too. Like we're soul sisters. And I was visiting her after an event I had done in Phoenix, and I went to Sedona where she lived, and we were, you know, sitting there overlooking these beautiful mountains. She had a house up in the hills and it was gorgeous, and I was chilling out with her and her new baby, and she's a little bit younger than I am. She's still in the childbearing years. you know, she was just asking me where I was at with my business. Like that's one of the categories of conversation that we have. And I was like, I don't really like it. Hmm. And I would not have like been vulnerable like that and honest about that with anyone else. Like you need to have friends in your life like that. That's one of the things. When I, you know, we have that program called The Exquisite, and that's for this group, like it's a small intimate group of like ultra successful women. You need people like that in your life that you can let down your guard with and who can ask you questions and it goes straight to your heart, right? And you're like, FDF. Okay, we're going to have to look at this.
I think no matter what level you're at, well, no, I think it actually gets harder to have the permission to complain, right? Like not to say that you were complaining or like you were saying, like your life wasn't bad, but you're allowed to not like aspects of it despite getting to a certain point. So I think it's important to have someone give you the permission to be honest about it all so that you can sort of get to that next thing that you want.
I think there's two things here. I think everyone needs permission, right? We all need a safe space to be vulnerable. With women who are leaders, they tend to always have to have the I've got my shit together mask on, right? And sometimes you don't, or things are falling apart behind the scenes, and yet you don't want that to be what you show.
Right.
Even if you're not a leader in business, you're a leader perhaps in your family. You don't want to show your kids that you're falling apart, right? Like, that's same concept here. In business, you don't want to show your team that something's not okay. Although I'm very transparent with you, Ariana. I'm like, no. But we need a safe place where we have permission. Now, for leaders, not only is it a safe place, but you need people who don't talk down to you. It's like that's one of the things that I know my clients value, is that like, I'm not, there's no hierarchy. I'm not talking down to their intelligence or how they're showing up. This is, they're freaking kick-ass in their life. We're not going to make them small because they have a little thing that we have to work through, or even a big thing. Okay, back to my story. So then she asked a question that I ask all the time, but somehow when someone who gets you asks it, it hits in a different level way. She said, if you could wave a magic wand and make it however you wanted, what would it look like? Some version of that question. In an instant, I got the download about how I wanted it to be. And then subsequent to that conversation on the same trip, so business event that I put on, little downtime with Jesse, then I went to a business event in Miami, which was a gathering of entrepreneurs that were in the same group with me. And it was mostly men. There were some women there, high testosterone in the room. And everyone was like jamming and energized and like vital and had a lot of life force and like warm and friendly and like good people, but like, we're gonna, you know, conquer the world.
Yeah.
And I realized that even though I had just had a conversation with the person I had been in partnership with, intimate partnership, my boyfriend for 4 years, about what I wanted and where I was, where I thought the relationship was going, what I wanted to see, how I wanted us to evolve together and grow, I realized that he wasn't this. He wasn't this level of vitality. And even though he was an entrepreneur. And so I came back and I had that conversation with him. And he was like, no, that is not where I'm going and what I'm doing. So in a matter of a week, I had clarified two no's in my life. No to this, the way I have was growing the business, and no to the relationship. And then I did the deep inner work the spiritual work that I teach my clients, and got super clear about what I was calling in. And that was both the new relationship, right? What that looked like, and the new business. Now, on the new business side, I wasn't as clear about the new messaging or the new, all the details that then took a period of time to work through. But I was very clear, like, okay, we're making this transition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a beat to make the transition, for sure, because I had commitments to existing clients and a lot of loyalty. And so I was going to do this in as right away as I possibly could.
What was that transition to the more feminine side of you, and how that played a role in the changes that came up for you? Because at this point, you're in that like the business is different. You're in that relationship. So like, how did that happen? Right.
Yeah. So what happened was, and you know, we have this on our website as well, on the homepage of the website, like the one thing that unlocks it all. Okay. And we tend to have a core wound that keeps us locked into a particular pattern of being. And for me, that core wound was unlovability. Like, I just felt like I and, you know, quite frankly, it has served me well because I was chasing success in order to fill that void, right? So, you know, I got really good at filling that void, right? So when I realized what I was going for in a relationship and that I wanted an exquisite relationship. I didn't want just a like, and nobody goes into a relationship thinking, I just want an ordinary relationship. Right. I don't think that anyone does that. But like, I was setting the bar really high for mm-hmm. what I wanted to create. And then doing the practices to create that, when that person came into my life, and that happened fairly quickly, I was still in go mode, right? I was still jam, 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 go, 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 fill my calendar, and then retreat and have time to myself to rejuvenate. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, I wanted to talk to you today. And he has a busy schedule, but he was creating time and space for me because it was important to him. And he wanted an exquisite relationship, and he wanted that connection, and he wanted that intimacy, and he wanted to know me better. And I was like freaking put out that like he wanted to talk to me. And I like, don't you know that I'm like freaking running a business? And I realized very quickly that I was approaching this relationship from my masculine. Now, he didn't meet me when I was in my masculine, right? He didn't meet me in go mode, but I live in go mode when I'm running my business, or at the time I did, right? Mm-hmm. So I realized, oh, if I want to create this relationship, if I want to have this exquisite relationship, I have to figure out how to run my business, not 100% from my feminine, but more so, and to allow more spaciousness and allow more ease. And that then became this unlock for me. I wanted that badly enough that I was willing to redefine, remodel what my business looked like. I was willing to redefine, remodel how I showed up in my business. Now, that was not an overnight switch, okay? Like, I don't think we can do that. But it was enough of a catalyst or impetus or a thing that I really desired, truly wanted badly enough that I was willing to undo. There was this domino effect of undoing and allowing that came in, and best thing that ever happened to me.
Nice to hear the journey. And I feel like it can be helpful when people are listening in on it that, you know, it's not an overnight thing. It's not something that you just like study and practice. And like you say it all the time, it's not like just read your books and listen to your podcasts and, you know, like get all the knowledge. There's a lot of actual experiencing that you have to do. And I feel like discomfort that you have to get over to get to that other side and allow, especially that masculine feminine, allow yourself to sort of put down your weapons, like ease into life a little bit more. And that's hard to do. That's hard to do. And you're constantly like, that's the only thing you know. So I think that was fun to hear.
So it wasn't overnight, and it wasn't just I call it the meta, right? The meta knowledge, the book learning. It was a lived experience of living into it differently. And here's the rub with the lived experience part. It's not doing it in like a safe way, right? Like completely remodeling your business. Like I might not have done it overnight, but I completely remodeled my business. That's huge risk, right? That took courage. That took a level of risk tolerance, a wanting it badly enough, a determination. There's a big word for you, like determination to do it differently and to figure it out. And that's not for the faint of heart. That's the part where I think people don't actually do the follow through in the living it out piece. Hey, Amira here. Want to know more about what keeps uber successful women from achieving everything they want in life? Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
So that is actually a great segue, because I think what is going to be important to talk about are sort of these, you know, obviously getting into the details of each step that someone needs to take is impossible on a show. And it's also very, you know, personal to the person. But what do people actually have? Like, what are the tangible things that people have to do, right? Like, there's this lived experience. Like, what else? What is the first step that someone needs to take in order to go from like, oh, I'm feeling like life's good, but like something's missing, to, oh, okay, now I get it. Like, now I have this like feeling and also feel like I can still conquer the world, right? My world and the things that I desire.
For that ultra successful woman who wants to shortcut things, the first step, and I know this was not the underhanded pitch that you, that I'm making this to be, but, is to book a call with me, because we can get at the, we can get at the heart of this so, so quickly. But if you don't want to do that, or you want the DIY version of it, like, the first thing you need to do is to claim your desire and decide. So desire and decision. And this is where, you know, it has to be a goal, a desire that's worth failing for. Like, you have to want it badly enough, more than anything else. And oftentimes people don't know what the thing is that's going to be the unlock. And that's why the conversation is really helpful to get at that. But like, once we get at that, then I would do anything to have that. Okay. Then you make the decision. Okay. And a decision is, I'm cutting off other options. I'm doing this no matter what. Okay. So desire and decision, step one. Step two is, you know, it's the denial phase. It's like all the stuff that comes up that's blocking our way that we need to figure out, identify, and clear. Okay. So these are subconscious blocks. These are identity issues. These are beliefs that we're not even aware of. They're blind spots that keep us playing out the same pattern again and again and again and again. So we have to identify those and really clear them. That is super important. And that's one of the things that I, you know, have spidey sense for. So, and that's the deep inner work. And you got to be willing to do that, because otherwise you're going to approach trying to create what you desire, but you're going to have all this, that it's like looking through upside down glasses or something. You're just not going to see clearly because you have these limited beliefs, these traumas, these subconscious programming that is completely changing your perspective, your identity, self-image issues.
Yeah. I'm just curious. Do you feel, and again, this isn't like the underhanded pitch, but I'm curious, like, that takes a lot of self-awareness to be able to, one, recognize it, and then two, change it. So is it possible to do it alone even? Like, I feel like you need a mirror or something to help you actually be able to make those, like, identify yeah. them.
So I have made the biggest shifts in partnership with mentors who have been able to see things that I haven't been able to see myself, especially when I was beginning this journey for myself and I didn't know how to approach my subconscious programming. I just didn't have the tools to do that. Now, because I've been doing this for so long, you know, 12 plus years, I just have tools. I know if I have a desire for something and I'm not getting those results, my results show me that I have something blocking myself. And then I go and do the work to clarify and break through. It's not just with a trusted advisor or a mentor. That is really important. But later on in these steps, I'll talk about why it's important to surround yourself with people who are also doing this work. So let's put a pin in that, and then I'll connect the dots. Okay. Yeah. So the third step here would be the map. This is the plan. And this is, you know, you're not going to see all the steps right away, but you can go, oh, if I want to be in a lit up relationship, what would the things that I need to do be? Mm-hmm. And you can kind of map it out for yourself. Would it be useful to have someone else with a different perspective who's done it before help you map it out? Yes. But, you know, you're bright. Most people are bright. Most people know, okay, I have to do these things. But the, like taking the time to actually map that out is useful. And these are both the tactical steps and maybe some inner game steps. Like, oh, I know that I have this core wound of unlovability. I need to move through that. Okay, that's a step, right? That's a thing on your map, okay? But the actual work there is an inner game piece.
Yeah.
Okay? And then step four is this connection to spirit. And this is so important. And this is one of the places where I think the super driven women, they think that they're connected to spirit, but they've lost a lot of their connection to spirit. So for me, my personal experience of that was like, I would get the creative downloads. I would feel like I could talk to God, and like I had those moments of connection. But when I started doing this work in earnest, this new way of doing this work around 2 years ago, I realized that my connection to spirit was about 2% of probably what it could be.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's a bigger connection there that's available for you. And when you start doing the practices that connect you to spirit and tapping in, it's like, well, it's like a lifeline, but it's also like this direct connection to the master switch for the universe. I don't know how to call that, but like, it's like you then, when you're connected and you start placing your orders, like, oh, this is what I would like, then you get guidance in a different way. Mm. So we have the map, that's the tactical, practical, 3D, do map.
Mm-hmm.
We can't deny that. There are things you need to do. And then there's the spiritual guidance. Once you're tapped in at a deeper, higher level, where it's wider and more present and all of that, it gives you an exponential map, right? It's not just linear, it's exponential. And as you start doing that, you start realizing that feeling to wholeness and how to connect that into your life. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the fifth step is, because here we've been, you know, we've been doing some work and we have the meta knowledge, we're learning, but you know, part of the map, I should go back to step three, part of the map and the plan is, you know, increasing your knowledge set, right? And that's part of, you know, that meta knowledge. It's like, you got to know what you don't know, because if you knew it, you would probably, if you were committed, apply it. But right now you don't even know what you don't know. So there's a bunch of things you need to learn, whether it's about stepping into your feminine or how to break through subconscious blocks or how to become more present. There are things you don't know. Okay. So that gets in step three. So step four was connection to spirit. Step five is connection to, and I would say step four is connection to spirit and yourself. I'm kind of assuming
looping that, yeah, putting them together.
Your soul is your spirit and all of that. Step five is really connection to others and to a trusted advisor, mentor type person. And the reason that is so important is that we need two things. We need accountability and we need a perspective other than our own, because we can get stuck in a trap of only seeing things from our own perspective. And if you're in a group of women who are super bright and are, you know, committed to their path, right, their growth, and you start describing the situation you're in, and they're going to have a different perspective. And if they are like part of the exquisite, for instance, they will know that it's not their role to just agree with you, right? Their role is to hold you to a higher level, to a higher standard, to help you see things that you don't see yourself without making you wrong, without cutting you down at the knees. This isn't a competition. This is I'm giving you everything I can to lift you up right now. And it's new wisdom. Okay. And when you're in a group like that, and it could be the exquisite, it could be something else, right? Some other group, you're held accountable to your highest self. Okay. That's what we want our the people who are surrounding us to do. And then with a mentor, it's the same kind of thing. There's a level of accountability and there's someone who is committed to raising your level of awareness in a very both structured and intuitive way to like get you to the next level and hold you to your goals, your dreams, the things that you want. Because of what I said at the beginning, most of us, when it gets hard, we come up with a really, even the brightest women do this, come up with a really good rationale for not breaking through.
Something that you've always, that I've always heard you say to clients has always been like, lean in, right? Like lean in. And you've even said it to team too. Like, don't like run away, just lean into it, whatever the thing is that's coming up for you. And I feel like that's, you know, what happens is like, we tend to run or get afraid when something like we, it's like, we know that something's wrong. We don't want to show up. So we sort of just stay away. And in this case, it's like, no, the reason why we lean in is because these people or person are here to actually hold that space for you to allow you to get the different perspective, to get a little bit of like a brain flip switch so that you can approach whatever it is that's coming up for you differently. Again, there's this, you know, speaking to the ambitious, successful women, it's like, I must do this on my own. And it's like, yeah, yes, sure, you can do it on your own. But also, like, you're allowed to be, you know, supported. You're allowed to have that support. And if anything, get that support so that you can get the, it's almost like you're stronger in numbers, right? It takes a village, all of those things where you can get different ideas from people.
The masculine is the provider, is the protector. So when we're in our masculine running our business, because we need to be the provider and the protector. We're the ones that are creating the revenue. Or if you're an executive, you're the one making the decisions, right? You are doing what's required to protect the business. You're doing what's required to provide for the business, right? And the people in it, okay? You're in your masculine. You're not in receiving support mm-hmm. mode, okay? Right. And as in the feminine, we need to allow ourselves to receive support, to be helped, to be aided, to be provided for. And, you know, and I'm speaking as if these are two, like you're going to flip a switch and be all or nothing. And I don't think that's it at all. It's like on a continuum, and you can navigate that continuum. So I shift throughout the day. You know, there are times where I'm more in my masculine and there's times where I'm more in my feminine, and you can make that a conscious, and you can become facile with that, but you need to be able to receive help and support if you want to do this faster. And that was like a radical shift for me. Like, oh, I pay experts for things for speed. Like, that's why I pay experts in the business, right? Like, hire the Facebook ads person. I hire the, you know, the CFO. I hire experts for their skill set so that it shortens our ability to execute things, whether it's graphic designers or whatever, right? Like, that's going to save me time. I'm paying for speed. Like, that's what I do. But we don't think about that necessarily in our personal lives. And that's I think, a big mistake. And let me just say, like, the work that I do, I work with women and it helps their businesses, and they start second, third, fourth, multi-million dollar businesses. And it, you know, it helps your business too. Like, I've become the trusted advisor for people behind the scenes for their business, because I don't think of it as a separation, your personal and your business life. I don't see as separate components. It's you doing both of these things. So let's figure out how to approach both of them with this kind of integration.
I just want to make a note, because you said something within the five steps that I think is super important. You started talking about connection to spirit. And I think that's a really, really great topic. So I think it's worth us making a whole other podcast episode on it. So just for the listeners and for us, we're going to have that conversation another time, because I think it's like super important for everybody.
Ooh, I love that. That will be very juicy. So, okay, good. Okay, good.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I think overall you have touched on just about everything that I was hoping you would when it comes to creating your exquisite life. You know, what I heard is that it's a lot about a feeling inside of you. It's not necessarily the external. It's not something that you know, there might be some tangible creations, but it's really about your inner game aligning with all of that and allowing for you to get those things. And this balance between masculine and feminine and taking just these really, I would say, deep steps to get to this exquisite life, steps that may require, you know, the support and the leaning in that we were just talking about. Is there anything else that you want to sort of add to that small recap?
I think it's interesting. You know, we spend a lot of time putting together the homepage of the website. And one of the things that we have there is a definition of the exquisite life. So I thought, okay, let me go. I just pulled it up. Let me go read that and see if what I expressed today is captured in that, or if there's more that I want to add based on this definition. Okay. So we wrote, one, a state where striving for greatness and living with ease are not at odds. Oh, that's so good, right? Mm-hmm. I do say so myself, right? Like it's that thing where, like I was talking about, we want the things that we want to be great in this world, however we define greatness, whether it's the athletic prowess, the beauty, whatever it is, the business, what do you want to be great at? And that requires this challenging of yourself. It is growth to step into greatness. And that living with ease is not mutually exclusive, right? That's that wholeness and that outer game piece that's really important. Going on to say, demonstrating that success and inner peace are not mutually exclusive, but rather experiences that amplify each other and reveal who we truly are. So I think that's an important piece. Like, if we can build our outer game success in a way that is a true expression of ourselves, we can have this outer game success and feel whole, right? They can amplify each other. Okay, we have a second definition now.
Okay.
The intentional creation of a rich life that not only looks good on the outside, but feels good on the inside. I think we nailed that one in this podcast. What
yes.
do you think?
Yes, okay. Totally.
A life of congruency filled with enchantment and beauty, purpose and truth, where each day one feels profoundly alive, in love with life, and entirely whole. I feel like we got that 95%. I didn't talk about enchantment and beauty, right? I talked about that or purpose and truth. I talked about feeling profoundly alive, in love with life, whole. But I think that an exquisite life is a beautiful life. It is feeling like there's magic every day, that it's not boring or run of the mill or tedious or, you know, just the next thing that needs to get done. It's not the grind. It is that magical enchantment of life that feels just totally beautiful. And it has purpose and truth. So that we didn't capitalize T, but that's T, truth with a capital T. That is spiritual truth, like the truth, like greater truth, and is fully lined up with your purpose. And sometimes people, I know I've been in those dark nights of the soul where I'm like, what is my purpose?
What is my purpose?
why am I here? But we all have one. And that is something that's really important to align with and tap into, and definitely something that I work with women on. So those definitions, if you want to read them again, are on the homepage of our website. And then underneath it, I won't read these unless you tell me I should. Ariana, you get to lead here. The Exquisite Life Ethos we also have on the website.
I kind of want people to go read them.
Okay. That'll be our tease.
Our teaser, yeah. Right there.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a whole ethos that explains the Exquisite Life as well. And they are worth worth reading. So, okay. I think with that, I feel, you know, obviously this is something I'm passionate about and that I could talk about aspects of it in detail. And we plan to over and over and over again, right? In more and more depth, but I feel complete for today's podcast. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And thank you for being a loyal listener and subscribing, liking, sharing this podcast, really getting this out to as many people as possible. It allows us to do our work in this world and to serve and to really help as many people as possible. So we would be incredibly grateful for any of those things, the 5-star reviews, the comments, the shares, the likes, however you want to give us feedback, we would be incredibly grateful for. And we're very appreciative that you have spent your time with us today. So thanks for tuning in. And if you liked this conversation with Ariana, please also let us know that in the comments, because that will help us know if we want to do more of this. And I personally think it went pretty well, Ariana. So
I had fun.
Okay. Okay. With that, we're a wrap.
All right.
Most ambitious women I work with already have good lives, possibly even great. But there's often this one area that is fine as is, but not yet exquisite. And yet, when we unlock that one area, they access a whole new level. I want to personally invite you to book a complimentary call with me and discover what that unlock could do for you. These calls are for women who have done at least a million or more in their business or executive career and are ready for an exquisite life inside and out. You can book our conversation at theunstoppablewoman.com/connect.